Hey, welcome to 2 Cents, everybody. This is episode 69. We're going to try not to do any sex jokes. It's October 30th.
I'm sorry, right when you said that was the first thing that came to mind.
Of course it fucking was. But it's October 30th, 2016. It's about to be Halloween in just a couple hours here. Spooky, spooky. But this is the Live Undoctored news show we do here at Dollar Reviews. We mostly do film stuff, get to cinema, dollar reviews, a few dollars more. Shit, even movie commentaries every once in a while, even though we only have... Well, technically, we have two. Well, one and two dead ones.
I don't know. What are the two dead ones?
We did one for Batman Forever that died. Mm-hmm.
But then which ones do we have?
I know for sure we have, well, you weren't on it. We have the Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I guess it's just those two, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think we only did one, and that just didn't go. Well, we could do it now because we got the right recording equipment to save that.
It could still be a fun idea. But this is our new show. It's where we talk about we share our 2 cents on the news items. And they vary. Obviously, there's some film stuff, but lots of internet and tech stuff. VR, which is virtual reality if you're in the past. Comic book news, TV, really anything that met my fancy. I'm Brian Gillis. You can find me on Twitter at Brian Gillis. It's harder than it sounds. It's BryonGillis. BrianDollarReviews.net is also how you can send me an email. And all of our content is at dollarreviews.net. But I'm here with Stephen Momonex.
Mm-hmm. And you can also find me at S_MTX on Twitter. You don't have to spell my last name because, honestly, who's going to remember that?
I mean, I've spelled it so many times now that I can't
remember.
How do
you spell it out loud?
MONTMANEIX.
Thank you. Wow, congratulations. I am always impressed when people can actually do that.
No, when I did the fucking YouTube upload that took I spent 45 hours doing that. Every single episode typing that shit out. I was like, after the first four, there's no way I can mess up now.
Well, if you want to feel more special, most people know how to spell it sometimes because they have to, but they have no idea how to say it.
It's French.
Like, that's always been the case.
Just call yourself Mont. Just Steve Mont.
Smont or Smont. Something. That was my username for work-related stuff when you have to log into something just to make it short that way.
Yeah, mine's Brian.
And my email is steve@dollarreviews.net. We love getting email from you guys. Hey, if you're listening right now, it's just starting, send us an email and say that you just started listening to that episode and just say hi. So I would appreciate
it.
I don't know about you. Would you appreciate that?
Yeah, I really like that. You can also send us a tweet. We're on Twitter. Not just us, but Dollar Reviews itself. Dollar Review, super easy, all over the internet, matter of fact. Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, WordPress, shit, let me get the list out here. We're on Google Play Music, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. We're always trying to branch out, be on more places. But let's do this new section that we just started. It's called Penny Thoughts. We didn't really start it now. It was originally on 2 cents, then we got rid of it, then we put on Dollar Reviews, but we don't do Dollar Reviews anymore because we don't have
the
money.
We actually gave it a name now, that's the big
thing. Penny Thoughts. And so, we can't really afford to go to the theater as much as we want to. That's why we do Debt to Cinema. That's actually the intro to Debt to Cinema. And if you want to throw us some money so we can do the new reviews, we might be doing, Doctor Strange this upcoming week. Maybe Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them because I have a free ticket for that. I want to see Assassin's Creed. Moonlight is getting rave reviews. There's enough stuff out there right now that we're probably going to have a couple more episodes by the end of the year. But you can guarantee that we'll have that. Just go into our Patreon. Patreon.com/dollarreviews. Lots of different perks on there. All kinds of shit. Check it out. Penny Thoughts.
I'm just going to be clear. I'm not seeing Rogue One or Fantastic Beasts unless somebody else pays for it.
It's fine.
Sadly, I think I might get suckered into Rogue One by someone here, because there's a lot of people that want to go, and I'm very resistant towards it.
You know you're going to fucking see it, don't lie.
Not willingly.
You're going to see it.
Honestly.
You might see it twice.
Not willingly in theaters. Me? No. I hate Godzilla enough, and I get enough bad vibes from it that I don't want to shit on it and say it's going to be the worst thing ever. I just want to say, I see that, I'm just kind of like, I don't think it's going to be for me.
It's like, it has...
People loved Godzilla, and it's like, I mean, that first trailer has enough great visuals in there that I'm just like, yeah, and I dig the tone enough, but then... The more that comes out of that, it's just the more I see it's like the more empty it looks to me, and I'm just like, I don't want to see it, man. I just really don't.
It's like it got very little likes, but I still think my Godzilla review is like the best thing I've ever written on Letterboxd.
I think you put it the best way, honestly. Yeah. That's like 2 hours of just a girl teasing you for and you get no payoff.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that sums up the experience. Like, I saw that movie twice, and I hated it even more the second time, and that really bums me out.
At least it's pretty. Penny, sure. Thoughts, though. What have you checked out this week? What movies, TV shows? Give us your three things, maybe even four, that you've been just twiddling about, listening to, whatever.
Well, I saw Love and Basketball. At least one of us did.
Yeah, I'm watching that. Excuse me. I want it is a date movie. I want to see it with my lady friend. I picked it to watch it with her. I also picked it because the basketball season just started.
Just save it. Uh-huh. Save it for the review. I know you said you got a specific reason.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll wait for that one. But I saw Curse of the Cat People tying in with Death to Cinema because we did an episode of
Cat
People.
I saw your Letterboxd. That must have been an awesome movie. It sounded like you loved it.
Totally. I hated it so much. At first it kind of starts out in that cheesy, old-fashioned way. Like, what this is it takes the same...
We're from the mountains of the Caskus, and we were cursed and sent away, but now we're cats.
No. This is the male character of the first one that dated...
he becomes a cat.
What's her face? And he ended up marrying the other chick, and they had a kid. And that kid, is basically, the outsider, the misunderstood girl, the weird girl in school. And, even in the beginning, he says, I'm worried about her. Something about her just reminds me, I'm remembering the name now, reminds me of Irena.
Yeah.
The original Catwoman they did. And, all of a sudden, this little girl, it should be a beautiful thing because she kind of sees, this fake imaginary version of just the old girlfriend. And they're just playing together and they're having fun. But there's this weird thing with this old lady that lives at another house, and she's being taken care of by her daughter, and she doesn't believe that that's her daughter, and that daughter wants to kill the little girl if she comes over again. This thing is a fucking mess that I can't describe right, but this has nothing to do with cat people.
Yeah.
It's a really, really shitty movie with, some really cool ideas, just about childhood and, fantasy and innocence, and it's you know what, you could make something interesting there. But because you fucking call it cat people and you shove in all this other stuff that doesn't belong, it just ends up being a real piece of shit. And one of the directors of this is Robert Wise, who...
lots of good stuff.
He did a lot of good stuff like The Sound of Music, Sand Pebbles. He even did a Star Trek film.
Star Trek 2, right?
No, the first one, actually.
Didn't we review something of his on Death to Cinema? I want to say, or maybe he just came up in conversation during the Rathacon
episode. I don't know. Did he do The Haunting, by the way, the original one?
I mean, this is what IMDb is for, so how about I fucking cheat since I never did
it? Okay, you like calling it cheating. But
it
anyways,
is cheating.
Like,
it's like if you're in the middle of a conversation, you take your phone out to look up a factoid, you're not really using your brain.
I don't think we'd be the only fucking podcast on the internet that uses the internet to do research and correct ourselves.
But I'm
Everybody does it. I
feel like I don't do it in person. I feel it's just morally wrong. It's like, fucking, if you don't know it, don't talk about it.
But that's human conversation nowadays.
Every time
someone's talking, but then there's always someone fact-checking on a phone that's willing to correct you and back you up if you're right or you're wrong.
Yeah, I never...
And that's just how it goes. That's 21st century conversation.
Well, I mean, he did West Side Story, Sound of Music. He did do the original Haunting.
Okay. So the 60s was a pretty big decade from him.
Nothing
and, you know,
of
this
his
is a good
done,
start.
Just checking.
Like, there's some nice visual imagery here, but this movie fucking sucks.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's really positive reviews on Letterboxd, which surprises me, but I just fucking hated every second of it. There's nothing really to say. I thought The Curse of Cat People was trash, and I don't think you should watch it.
Oh, I won't. No problem.
Yeah, so, avoid it for your Halloween thing. Something that was trash, though, that was amazing is this movie called The Dragon Lives Again. Are you familiar with the term Bruceploitation?
I'm guessing it's a movie that tries to capitalize on Bruce Lee.
Yeah, because he made, six films before he died, and then all these rip-offs of Bruce Lee. So what this is about is that Bruce Lee dies and he goes to the underworld. In the underworld, he basically makes a lot of enemies and he tries to make a name for himself. And one of the enemies that he has is Dracula. he also fights off against Zatoichi. There's James Bond.
Sounds like a kick-ass movie.
Yeah, there's The Godfather. It was a weird Wednesday. Yeah. Now get this. There's The Exorcist. Which, that makes no
sense. Yeah,
it's just
make
a
sense.
Guy
it's
called
not...
The Exorcist, even though... But, yeah, I mean, this is Hong Kong cinema, so they just took a popular movie and they were like, okay, fuck it, let's call it The Exorcist. There's this film in France that I never saw called Emmanuel, but yeah, they made this, total cocktease of a hot chick and named her Emmanuel, and, she's one of the baddies there. Who fights with Bruce Lee? You want to take a guess as to who it is?
What do you mean?
There's one guy that sides on a very popular fictional character.
His
sidekick?
That
fights alongside Bruce Lee. You want to guess who it is?
Is it like a karate guy or just random?
No, not at all. He does fight.
Is it Batman?
He was played by Robin Williams.
From Peter Pan?
Popeye the Sailor.
I like that. That's a good pairing.
I know, and it's an Asian Popeye the Sailor. This is so fucking weird. And I'm glad I saw it. Like, you know, what was special about this screening, though, is that it was a 4K scan. I hesitate to say restoration, but there's this organization here that's a nonprofit called AGFA, and they get most of the prints that show up at these weird Wednesday or Terror Tuesday screenings. And what they had was, as far as they know, the only print in existence, and it was beat to shit, and they couldn't play it. So they've recently got a 4K scanner through Kickstarter, mm-hmm. and they basically restored this movie. And it's a digital presentation that really preserves just the print itself. Like,
so it looks shitty.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty, is like, even though it was a digital presentation, it does look like a 35mm print. So, you know, you still got the cigarette burns on top when the reels change. All the scratches, all the sounds of crackling and all that, but like they do preserve, I guess the best way to call it is a grindhouse experience. And it was a lot of fun that way. Yeah, it does look shitty, but for a movie like this, that's kind of the best way to see it. Mm-hmm. Also, this is probably the only one, I guess, that has the proper CinemaScope ratio, because there are a bunch of VHSs on this that are in the 4x3 ratio, and you can even watch it on YouTube that way. But it was a fun watch with this crowd, and like that would be the only way I'd see it. But hey, if that's your thing, to watch silly stuff just to laugh at, if you want to see an Asian Popeye the Sailor eat a can of spinach and beat a bunch of demon skeletons that are slaves to Dracula, then you can do that, and it's on YouTube. But the last thing I saw was Lights Out, and I had fun with it.
Good as everyone said? Amazing?
Not amazing. You know, like, the premise, I think, is absolutely fucking brilliant, mm-hmm. but I mean, just as far as, like, storytelling, it's like, okay, it's basic. It's just kind of a fun, like, horror ride that, like, does some cool things with its premise, is a bit weak on the script side, but it's, like, 80 minutes long. You know, it goes by quick, and to me, it has what's probably the creepiest movie monster since It Follows. Like, I mean, you know, like, It Follows didn't fucking outright scare me, but, like, right when I got out of it, it stuck with me.
Yeah, looking
it's
around
kind of
your
the same thing with
shit.
This. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, or just like if I'm walking out like in the park alone at light,
super,
I'm just like,
yeah, super
waiting.
Dark, super
I see like one person out there and they're walking in a certain way. It's like they seem like they're walking straight at me. I'm just like, it just fucking creeps me out. Like, you know, your own mind just makes up this shit.
After
and so,
the Babadook, I don't want to read a fucking pop up book.
Lights out. Yeah, when you turn off the lights, like, you know, and you just see like a little bit of a shadow somewhere. It's like, I don't know. It fucking kind of creeped me out a bit. But hey, I had fun with it. I wish it was better than it was, because that premise is so fucking good. But you know, it's a really cool horror film visually. Like, I imagine that the DP just had so much fun lighting that, because it's really interesting. Like, how do you show a monster in the dark too, and like still give you enough to see? Which, you know, they do it, but it's like I wonder how they played with that. Like, it was, because it was really well shot in that respect, and they totally sell it. And yeah, I thought it was a really cool movie.
I'll probably
not something that'll blow your mind, but it was fun.
I'll probably check that one out next year. Like that, Don't Breathe, all the bigger success, like little indie horrors that came out this mm-hmm. year. Because I didn't really watch that many, but I'll start with the one that I did watch this week. Literally the one was Hush. I saw Mike Flanagan's Hush film, about the deaf mute writer who stops a home invasion. I think it was because we talked about him a little bit last week, and I was like, sure, I know this is on my instant queue for quite some time.
He just had Ouija come out, which, you know, funny enough, I think, actually, I heard some that movie shot the same house as
Hush.
not Hush. Fucking the one I just talked about, and I'm Lights Out. Huh. Yeah. Which, by the way, just, I gotta say this real quick for Lights Out. Holy fucking shit, white people are rich in that movie. Maybe that there could be a disconnect there, but it's like, I mean, hey, I'm white, and I'm just kind of like, oh my god, no one's, you can't be that fucking wealthy, really? Like, even the boyfriend in that movie had the nicest fucking Volvo ever. With the fucking TV screens in the backseat, but whatever.
So Hush was pretty kick-ass. It wasn't, I mean, it was basically exactly what I thought it was. I was expecting a lot more silent filmmaking, if that makes sense. Because you don't get a lot from her point of view, even though she is the protagonist. Like, they use a lot of scoring and diegetic sounds and such. But when you do get her point of view and nothing is you know, making any sound, it's pretty unsettling. I didn't watch it with headphones, but if I had, or better yet, if I saw it in a theater, I probably agree with your Letterboxd review. Like, it would have been a really interesting take on a horror film, because unlike the jump scares and the musical cues and all that stuff, you're supposed to just sit there and kind of, you're like shocked by the fact that you can't hear anything. And probably one of the more interesting things about horror is that it is so reliant on sound. Like, if you take out all that stuff, you take out the scoring and the effects and all that sound work, it's almost never scary. And this is still startling with that lack of sound, which is probably
the most interesting thing. There are definitely moments where the lack of sound works, but I do like, I will never forget this, because it's like there was sort of an audible gasp, like the first time that you see the guy at the door, and it's that one thing where you know, it gives you more dread, like, and you care for her a lot more when that happens, because you can hear, and that's it's like kind of like that oh shit moment where you know everyone like yells during horror movies like no go this, go do that,
and you know,
but
that you
when you're
hear
watching
you.
This, it's like, you know, you want to fucking scream, and then you're like, oh fuck, you can't hear. No, get out of there. Get, and then like, you know, the fuck. Right when the guy's like right behind there too, it's just like, it gives you chills because you know exactly what's going to happen. You know that they're completely helpless, and it kind of makes the experience worse in that way. It's very effective in, it's one of those examples in horror where it's like, you know exactly where something is happening and you're just dreading it happen.
It's a really interesting case study. It's the first Mike Flanahan film I've seen.
You have not seen Oculus?
No. So it is really cool that he writes, directs, and edits his shit. Almost no one in horror does that. And
you gotta check out Oculus, though, because that is
really like, good. I like this enough that I'll probably check out the first Ouija and Oculus next year.
Second Ouija.
You didn't do the first one?
No, the first one's the one that everyone hates. What this one is it's a prequel, so I guess technically you don't have to see the first one.
Oh, okay.
The first one is like, it made money, but it's pretty panned.
Really good home invasion film. There's a cool cat. There's sign language. Just a totally unique premise. If you don't like Blumhouse, if you don't like the, oh, there's a stranger trying to kill me type of thing, I think you're still going to like this one. I'd buy that for a dollar. Something else I watched this week, and you're probably going to hate me for this, especially because I haven't talked about them in over a month. I saw Max Landis' Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. I saw the pilot on BBC America. Pretty fun. I didn't see his Crystal Cove show, which is on Sci-Fi. But yeah, this is really fun. You can see for free on YouTube, the first episode anyway. You got Elijah Wood. You got some other guy playing Dirk Gently who I don't know the name of. Just totally likable. I haven't read any of Douglas Adams' series. I have read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and just the tone of his voice is presented so well in whoever they cast as Dirk Gently. It's interesting, just the idea of the holistic shit. It's like, I'm a detective, but I don't look for clues. It's whatever happens to me and around me and the chaos. It's not a coincidence. It has to be for this. Just really fun. I'm curious to see. I know the second episode came out last night. I'm really curious about the show. It's funny because, you know, Westworld's the thing that everyone's talking about right now. I haven't seen that, but I've seen an episode of Dirk Gently.
Well, Westworld, it's funny. It's like when you hear that something is so great, then you're just kind of like, you know, maybe I'll get to it later when it's done.
I think
then I got the chance of being wowed when I'm binging something all at once instead of eagerly waiting.
It's that, but I think it's more so that I've seen Westworld, and I saw that fucking movie before anyone on the internet even knew it was a thing. And I almost picked it, you know, as a Death to Cinema pick, and it probably got us a lot of traffic, but I didn't want to. And I didn't want to rewatch that. I'll probably rewatch it after I see the show. But I'm pretty sure, even with all the twists and turns and all these theories and shit, that it's a pretty similar setup. And I don't think I'm going to be as enamored as the rest of the internet.
And I think our audience really needs to know about Love and Basketball.
I think so.
That should be a very fun talk.
I think, from what I know about it, maybe. I checked out it's kind of hard to talk about video games on the show. I don't talk about them frequently, but I just technically almost finished the Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered campaign on Veteran difficulty. I'm going for the Platinum Trophy for that, which is like the hardest achievement you can do on PlayStation for a game. It's literally doing everything. 100% completion, doing all the achievements, doing all the shit. And that game is very difficult. Like, rage-inducing. Like, I spent, like, an hour and a half on one chapter, and there's, like, 20 of them. I'm not done yet. I have, like, a couple days. I'm going to finish by Thursday. Thursday night is when the next Call of Duty comes out. And if you're not following at home, it's the biggest intellectual property on the planet that is released annually. Bigger than any TV show, movie, book, comics, anything. It sells gangbusters. I wouldn't be surprised if this breaks the record that they currently hold for biggest single-day sale of all time. Just because Activision, man, is that how that money works. But really pretty, even though it's a technically a remaster, you know, it's an HD up-res, practically. Mm-hmm. Really gorgeous. The fact that this game is, eight, 9 years old, and it looks this good now, really excited. And
there's finally PlayStation VR capability?
There's PSVR capability on the new Call of Duty. There's like a Top Gun type thing. So
they're kind of at least giving you an incentive to buy into it more than just
certain
shit.
A lot of the big games this year have little add-ons. These little just, they're stacked on to what you're already paying $60 for. So if you bought the $400 hat, you have something else to play with. So the big ones of mine, Call of Duty, like I said, Star Wars Battlefront, which came out last year, has a little VR thing. You do like the trench Death Star fight in an X-Wing. Final Fantasy 15, Deus Ex, Rise of the Tomb Raider, a couple other things, but I think it's gonna be more and more commonplace, especially next year. I wouldn't be surprised this time next year, like every single game has something, unless it flops, but I doubt that's gonna happen. And speaking of like proof of that, I talked about it last week on the show. I was like, I have the content. I bought way more content that I'm gonna be playing more and more. So the stuff that I bought Super Hypercube, even though I didn't want to, for $30. Amazing. I already played it. It's like Tetris but better. That I can't say that. Tetris is one of the best games of all time.
It's classic. Yeah, it's tough to tell.
Yeah, but this is, in terms of VR, it's the only thing that I've played so far that has infinite replayability, that you can put on someone's head and they get it right away. There's no nausea. There's nothing. Like, you're supposed to be seated. Just amazing. It's $30, which is a hard swallow. But like I said, because it's infinite replayability, I'd buy that for $1. I bought it for $30. Some other shit I bought, like Job Simulator and fucking a lot of stuff. But the one I actually want to talk about, like I said, I did talk about last week, is Arkham VR. I beat that. $20 is the right price point. It is.
Did you get sick at all?
Yeah. But $20 constantly is the right price point. It is very short. Like last week I was talking, I was like, oh, I played for an hour and I still probably got an hour or two left. No, if you play it straightforward or you're not fucking around like I was, it's probably about an hour and 20 minutes long. And you can you can play it again. Like, when you beat it, it unlocks, like, a New Game Plus type thing where you can do, like, Riddler challenges and break these things. I'm going to do it to get the trophies. But it's, I don't know. I
that's probably fair, too, because if VR sickness is still a thing, that's a good way to at least adjust to something that's that short before you can really stay in there for that long.
Maybe,
you know?
But this is more of, it's a launch title. It's tied to an IP. It's, like, one of the only launch titles that does that, or one of the only VR experiences so far that does that on PlayStation at all. And, you know, it is what it is. Like, it is pretty cool. But what I heard about it from E3 is exactly what it is. There's no depth to it. But my problem with the thing is, first off, there's like a jump scare that happens in the middle, which I was not a fan of for obvious reasons. And VR horror is not comparable to flat screen horror at all. Like, there's literally someone behind you or in your periphery jumping out at you as if you were, you know, in a fucking haunted mansion type thing. And as someone who has been paid to be that person, I was like, fuck you guys. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to be Batman, okay? He doesn't get scared because he's Batman. He scares people.
No, he doesn't. You're fucking Batman.
Exactly. I shouldn't be able to
knock that person out.
No, it's more than that. But my real problem was, the first time I played it, it was amazing. Tracking was perfect. I had like a little couple of issues, but everything was fine. This time, my second playthrough, or my second go at it, not only is these jump scares, but I was having tracking issues. When I was looking, it would jitter, like the controllers were moving, but then it would think I was going through objects. It's hard to explain. Basically, imagine a camera going in focus and out of focus and, like, wobbling on a tripod and then getting back in focus and fixing. And it was just nauseating, but I could power through it. It wasn't, like, an issue as in I actually get when I get VR sick. This was just, like, a technical malfunction. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I turned my lights off. I had my lights on. I opened my window. I tried different things. I recalibrated the lights. I tried all kinds of different things. And for some reason, it just wasn't the way it was before. And I've had similar experiences. I think it's just, like, something that they could patch or something that's going to get better in the future. But my real problem wasn't that there was just those tracking issues and the jump scares. It's that this game ends with a psychological twist, and I really didn't like the way that made me feel in VR at all. I didn't buy this for that. Like, it makes total sense, not only just within the game itself, but in the franchise, especially with the way that Arkham Knight ends or just begins even.
Mm-hmm.
But it,
so this felt too real for you?
Not real. I knew I was in a game, but basically you're in a room, like you look into a room, and then when you peer back, you're in the room. And then the walls are shrinking on you, and there's the walls are changing, and there's a mirror, and you look in the mirror, you're not who you were a second ago, and there's like something behind you. Like, it was psychologically tormenting. It was not fun. If, like, VR already makes me feel kind of sick, when you stack that on the jump scares that were happening, on top of the tracking issues, and all of this, like, when I took my headset off, I was sweating. I was
upset. That is sort of what you get for playing an Arkham game, though.
Yeah, like that sequence
is... You can't
say
that doesn't belong.
No, yeah, that sequence that I'm talking about is inside Arkham Asylum. It's just... And, it, like I said, it's totally great within the story, but it's a total fucking cop-out, and it wasn't what I wanted. I still recommend the game. For $20, you get a real tangible sense of being Batman. Even just doing the Batcave stuff, which I had only done last week, you get it. Like, I'd buy that for a dollar. I own every Arkham game in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Not upset about buying that one.
I still never finished Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
God, that's been, what, like 7 years now?
A little bit longer than that, probably. But yeah, if you have PSVR... definitely get that one. It's something that you can just put on someone and they're gonna get it at a very, very friendly price point. So we're gonna start the real news right now. Like I said about 20 minutes ago, if you want to support us, we could put an ad right here for whatever you do. You got a company, you fucking make music, whatever, go to patreon.com/dollarreviews. You can buy this ad space for only $50. Okay, here's the other shows we do. I lied. I said we did Debt to Cinema and Dollar Reviews before. Just some of the ideas. Steve's kind of been teasing Love and Basketball. That's, you know, that's coming up this upcoming Wednesday. But that's mm-hmm. our semi-topical list of shame show, some other stuff that we've done over this past month for Halloween. Did The Changeling, Phantasm, Plan 9 from Outer Space, The Toxic Avenger, and Star Wars Holiday Special. No, I'm joking. That was last Christmas. Also, like, Ricky O, which I did a rap for, Bullworth, which is awesome because of politics, Dollar Views, which is our spoiler-free, no-recap shit. So check that out. Check out our other content. We don't always just do the news. And that stuff is actually edited, so you can listen to what Steve does with his fingers.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of it. Yeah.
It's like almost 200 hours worth now.
It's
like 150. 150, I think.
I've had way more fun editing those lately, mainly because of those intros, I think. Like, it's just how those are distinguished, like... Mm-hmm. It's just funny how, like, that intro can play for almost any tone.
Right? Like, we did a good job.
We did, like... And then it gets you in the mood mm-hmm. for whatever movie we're talking about.
We recorded that almost a year ago now, and we just did, like, the one session. No, we did two sessions.
Yeah, but it hasn't changed.
It hasn't, no.
Like,
it really,
at all.
Like,
none of them have.
Very, like, only the outro. Like, we haven't
just, like, a tiny bit, and it's really just, like, one thing that was added.
It's like, we'll make a behind-the-scenes episode one day. It was like, this is how we did it. We sat over Skype, and we recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we just, like, put together sentences, like, just kind of argued on which words to use, and then sometimes the flow of the tongue didn't work well. It's like, it's a pain in the ass, especially because you're not in the same room. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine the creative process, like, over Skype. It is not ideal, but it worked.
Sorry about that pause, people. It was a water break. But yeah, headlines. Okay. This is where the news start. Last week, the big thing, I'm sure you people have heard about it by now, is AT&T is in the process of trying to merge with Time Warner or actually just buy them. It's a marrying. Anyway, mm-hmm. part of that was kind of... What's the right term? Basically,
Monopoly?
It is a monopoly, but AT&T is trying to flaunt its good intentions, basically, after the merger, by announcing that the DirecTV Now over-the-top service, which has 100 channels, mind you, is going to only cost $35 a month. I don't know if this is true. It's, like, just speculative right now, but that's asinine. That's $30 less than Sony's PlayStation View service, which is currently the cheapest. So, you know, YouTube and Hulu, they have their own versions coming out soon. They would have to compete with $30 a month, which is, seriously, it's insane. Like, cable for 100 channels is
it goes
like
down,
60.
But then let's say this deal goes through, then they can bring it back up whenever the
Maybe.
Fuck they want.
That's what the internet's thinking. Like, I read this really great article in Variety that chronicles just exactly how this mega merger happened, the process, how it's going to set the stage.
That's how these things do. When, like, someone gets control, then all of a sudden they start abusing of that, and then they just go, like, what are you going to do?
Well, that's the thing,
like,
though.
I can fucking up it however much I want.
This Variety thing, which you got to read, I'll tweet it out. They talk that they're trying to be a loss leader in over-the-top services just so they can turn the public's perception. Because people like me are like, oh, fuck you, you're trying to be a monopoly. We get it. You make the content, you put the content on your servers, you access it through your AT&T mobile plan. Oh, it's free, like all this shit. Like, it's 100% vertically integrated, which is super stupid because the AOL-Time Warner merger was them going, in the future, this is what it's going to be like. And then in the future, they ended up buying someone else to make it exactly like they wanted it to be. So,
it's a company. You can't trust what they're going to say right now, just as this stuff is going to happen. They're going to just do it, and then, well,
it's
assuming that this goes
through. Yeah, it's probably going to take another year for it to be approved by the regulation boards. So we'll know then. We'll probably be on the show talking about it, like, haha, you motherfuckers thought it was going to happen, but it didn't. But a lot of cord cutters or cord never millennials are going to go to AT&T if this happens. Because you can get DirecTV Now and then have unlimited data only. You know, if you're on AT&T and it's not going to count against your data cap and all this kinds of shit. Like, they're saying if you have either AT&T internet or mobile provider, it's not going to count. Like, you're going to get these perks. I wouldn't be surprised, and I remember saying this last week, if, you know, the T-Mobile Tuesday thing where I've gotten, like, free tickets for movies. If AT&T
if
has
that,
the same thing just for Time Warner tent poles. Like, here's a free 48-hour trial of HBO Now. Or, like, here's, like, a free Batman wallpaper. Or, you know, some shit like that. Like, it makes sense. Like, it is brilliant. The things that they're going to be able to do, the way that they're going to be able to attract people across a wide spectrum just through the fandom of DC alone, like, if there was, get, like, a free Batman, well, I mean, like, ringtones aren't really a thing anymore, but you can incentivize people to switch over to your carrier all number of ways based just on their DC properties. You throw in their Time Warner properties, like the Harry Potter and shit, like, there's countless ways that they can make this happen in a way that is just insanely profitable, and I'm still scared of it. I don't have nightmares, really. I mean, I saw you favorite my tweet about a nightmare recently. But I could potentially about shit like this. Something that I am also a little more scared of, though. I'm sure you've been seeing what's going on with Donald Trump's Hollywood star.
Of course, yeah.
So, last week, title of the episode, Let's Get Political, at the end of the show, I was talking about, oh, you know, we started off talking about the debates. I ended the show talking about I want to become a voter because of Proposition 60. I did, in fact, register to vote last week. I did on the final day of doing so because I am a procrastinator. And this shit, the way that Donald Trump is being vindicated, it's gonna get people to just be sympathetic and vote for him. And
that
I'm one of those
people. Without getting to... I'm not going to say anything. Without, you know, just looking at this objectively, yeah, not only that, but, you know, there's been more...
so many fucking things.
You know,
things.
Just the issues with the emails, that, like, and what... fuck, I don't even... Because we're not a news show, I can't report on this properly. But, yeah, the Clinton organization is in the shitter right now. And basically, Trump, if he's going to make a turnaround, now is the time to do it. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not voting till tomorrow for early voting. So
they've done so many fucked up shit to just his Hollywood star. It started earlier this year back in like February, they put like it was a funny one. They put like a miniature barbed wire fence around it. It's like ha ha ha.
you know, for me, that's not going to be enough justify my decision to vote.
That was like a miniature thing, literally.
But yeah, that is definitely a PR piece that they can use.
After that, someone painted a swastika on it. They put like a mute symbol on it a couple of weeks ago, and now someone literally sledgehammered out a piece of a tourist attraction. This is right in front of the Dolby Theater.
Mm-hmm.
There's video of it. I don't want to watch it, but there's video of it on Deadline. They have the guy, whatever the fuck his name is. He's like dressed up in a construction outfit. He hasn't even been processed yet. He's not in jail. Like that's vandalism. Like,
Yeah, it is. No, I mean, this country's in a fucked up place right now, man. I don't want to get into it too much. Yeah. That is total vandalism. It's unacceptable. It's not going to be enough news to justify my vote either way on it. I'm not going to say who I'm voting for.
Because, like I said, I
do think that, yes, they could absolutely use this as like a PR piece.
Well, not even. It could be so many things. Like, all of the things that have been happening to his Hollywood star could just be propaganda perpetrated by the Trump campaign. That's a totally plausible thing. That's how you become president. You do stupid shit like that. You do borderline unethical, illegal things.
I don't
think
California is going to become a red state.
No, but this is
shit like that. California is definitely going to be for Clinton.
Just because it happens in California doesn't mean that it's a California topic. This is a national or even international news story.
It's been kind of avoided. Like, I see tweets about it, but I have not seen really coverage on
it. I'm covering. I think it's despicable. Like, you don't have to like someone or their politics or the things they say, but a lot of people are really going way too far.
Yeah, I mean, that totally is an example. I didn't even know he had a Hollywood star.
Yeah, he got it for The Apprentice.
That show, The Apprentice.
And other, he's in countless movies. He's in Home Alone 2. He's in... that's the top of my head, but he's in a lot of movies. He's made it.
Where is he in Home Alone 2 again? I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Macaulay Culkin stays in the Trump Hotel, I believe.
And Donald Trump is in
Donald Trump's in a limo for sure. Yeah, you can see I'm pretty sure you see that clip on YouTube. But yeah, he's in that movie. He's in a lot of movies.
I gotta look it up because I've not seen that movie since I was a kid.
I would guess without even looking at his IMDb page, he's probably been in like 15 movies.
God, I have to look at the IMDb now. I'm sorry, but. Just for my own benefit, I'm not going
to
report
on it. I said
this
thing to a friend. It would be really interesting if he's elected president, just from an archival standpoint, because he would be, without a doubt, the president with the most screen time before being elected.
Well, what about Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan's in a good amount of movies, but we're talking about 22 episodes of 8 seasons of a broadcast TV reality show.
All right. Well, he's only got 20 acting credits.
I said 15. So one of those is The Apprentice. 15 of those are something else. I mean, maybe it's other TV show stuff. But
it's a bunch of TV shows. There's also...
Home Alone 2, for sure. He's in a couple movies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just in terms of...
Yeah, he's in Home Alone 2.
Just in terms of being on the news, being on the TV shows, like... For a historical standpoint, when people are looking at this election, it's going to be really interesting, even in terms of Hillary, too, just the amount of time they were in front of the camera before taking office.
The election's going to be interesting for a lot of reasons, but sure, that is a facet of one of them. I don't think it's a big one.
I'm saying, in terms of what we talk about on the show, I find it really fascinating, just the kind of documents that are going to be available for either one of them, especially Trump, that... People are going to be able to very easily research the kind of people they were, 30 years ago and shit.
I'm sorry. I do find this funny, but apparently he was in an episode of Sex and the City, and the title of that episode is The Man, the Myth, the Viagra.
Yeah, that show's so weird.
Yeah, just by episode title. It's funny. Oh, he was also in Zoolander.
I don't even remember that. But yeah, no,
I don't either.
I'm sure, elected or not, he's going to be on way more movies.
Well, he's definitely not going to be quiet regardless of the results, but we'll see 2 weeks from now. Should be interesting.
Should be interesting when I'm in the ballot voting against condoms and voting for the guy with the spray on tan. We'll see. So Amazon is officially in China now, and so is Amazon Prime. The A to Z giant is hoping that they can compete against Alibaba. Digital content is coming soon. That's the news story. It's just, I like this. Amazon doesn't really have competition in America. Alibaba doesn't really have competition in the Middle Kingdom. And if Amazon's there, how long is it going to take for Alibaba to come here now? I'm really interested in this. I like competition. It brings out the best in people. I want to see where this goes. I want to see, because they already have like Chinese Amazon original stuff for Prime Instant probably in the works. And it's like, well, Alibaba makes movies. They make TV shows. They're really synonymous. And I want to see where this battle goes. I want to see what kind of rivalry this becomes.
What content Alibaba has to, like, as far as
what you can see.
I mean, they'll definitely bring more content from abroad. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I was not really familiar with that name till I think I saw, what was it, Star Trek or Ninja Turtles over the summer.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I mean, that's probably about it right now. Yeah, and then you talk about it. I didn't even know how big of a deal they were until you really solidified how big they were.
Like, they're not Wanda. They're not trying to put their fingers in everything, but they're, mm-hmm. like,
they're
they,
like,
they have 430 million
really well known there, yeah.
subscribers. That's more than we have people in America. To put that in perspective,
a country of a billion people, or a billion and a half.
I'm just saying, though, you know, like Amazon, like we picture them as this huge entity, and it's like it's pretty big. But mm-hmm. in China, even if they have 1.5 billion people, that means 1 in 3 people uses Alibaba.
Yeah,
that's in well.
I mean,
not,
how many people use Netflix in the country?
That's the thing,
here?
Though. Not every single Alibaba user is in China. But even still, I would have to imagine that it's like Wanda and Alibaba are like two of the biggest things there. It's like everyone is aware. Mm. It's like, yeah, that's how we're going to become the world power. It's them and Huawei and HTC. Even though that's a Taiwanese company, but even still. It's like, that's how we're going to do it, guys. We're going to do it.
Yeah, so Amazon Prime is there, but is Amazon just as a shipping company
yeah.
always been there
no,
in China?
No, that just came this week.
Then that transition should be fairly easy, yeah. I think, or at least as an option, but it probably won't top Alibaba, because, I mean, even Amazon is pretty big here, but it's no Netflix.
It's like, the details are pretty interesting. I think Prime for 1 year, because this is like a promotional period, is only $30 American for the first year, and then it's going to jump to like $60 after that, which is still really cheap. Comparatively to what we pay, and it's like the way shipping works, even as Prime, it's going to be 5 to 9 days instead of 2, and the reason for that is that you could be buying something that isn't on in the mainland and or it's mm-hmm. being shipped abroad. So that's really cool. They're getting Prime like free shipping.
I don't think they have many warehouses
yeah.
there probably.
Like they're getting free shipping regardless, even if it's an international shipment, which is just really interesting. They should do the same thing for us. I'm sure there's going to be more to come about that. I said this is a pretty slow news week, or rather, I said that before the show. But this is probably the biggest thing that happened this week. You know, Apple, they had a press conference. They showed off some new shit. We'll talk about that later in the tech section. But Microsoft showed off way more things. They did it was meant for their tablets. It was meant for their Surface line. But they introduced Windows 10 Creators Update this week. It's a free update that's coming, I think they said spring, and what it primarily does is bring VR and 3D across all Windows 10 devices at the core
really?
Level. Yeah. So it's starting off small, like Paint is getting updated, now there's 3D creation. You can take your phone and 3D scan an object and then like edit and manipulate it in Microsoft Paint. This is the first time they've updated the application in like 20 years, okay? And once you have that scan, you can put on a VR headset or Microsoft's HoloLens and view it and manipulate it in 3D. Like it has a really cool concept.
I'm sorry, but you know, first update in 20 years, by the way, it sounds like the first update ever.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. It's like since they went from black and white to color.
Since they launched it,
yeah. But I said VR. We're not talking Oculus and HTC. They're partnering with several people to make their own VR headsets now. HP, Dell, Lenovo, Asus, Acer, all of the big names in computing, obviously not HTC mm-hmm. because they're busy. they're claiming that it's going to start at $299 a headset. This isn't wireless or anything. This isn't a Gear VR. I think some of them are going to be powered by cell phones. This is just something just like Oculus or HTC or Sony PlayStation VR. You plug it into your computer, you can do stuff in virtual reality. So I'm really excited about this. I knew that they weren't going to make an Xbox VR just for logistical reasons. It doesn't make sense to splinter HoloLens and that kind of R&D and then also do AR and VR at the same time. So it's cool that they're outsourcing this technology to people that clearly want to get into it because it's going to be... I think the numbers are still like...
That could be my gateway into it now. Maybe. Because like, Cardboard didn't work out.
Gateway is not in business anymore. Oh, that's a bad joke.
That's true.
I was talking about Gateway the other day. I was like, I was with my lady friend. And she lives around the corner from a Gateway storefront. I was like, oh yeah, this used to be a Gateway. She's like, I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah, it was like the biggest thing in the area. It looked like just, you walk in there and it would look like it was cows. Like just like the weirdest setup. I remember I went in there like maybe once. But yeah, I'm curious to see what this is like. What these actually cost. They have mock-ups. They showed one on stage at the presser itself, but are they getting exclusive content? Do they have Microsoft Studios making games? Minecraft is undoubtedly going to come to it, but what's it like for the storefront? I'm really curious to see.
This is just an announcement, so we'll probably hear more as it develops. And by the time that they're starting to release it, there should be more out
like
there.
Their announcement was good enough. Like I said, Apple did a press conference this week. They didn't show off any VR. They're going to be the last people to the party, which they always are, but this time it's going to sting. I don't think they're going to be able to get into the game because there's going to be so many companies already out there with content and with devices that you'd be stupid to wait for Apple to do it, especially because it's going to cost more. Like, if this Microsoft version is $300, the Apple version's got to be at least four, maybe even five. So
maybe six, honestly, yeah, like if, because everything Apple is, like, double the price.
Yeah, so unless they have, like, a ton of content they're working on right now, they're going to blow the fucking doors off of people with the kind of things they're doing. I can't wait till the next year to see, because they're losing money. Their stock is dropping steadily. Their revenue...
Since Steve Jobs went away, like, that company just hasn't been the same.
Yeah, like, they're stagnant. We talk about them a lot. But the last thing here about Microsoft, and this is kind of cool, too... they just baked in Twitch-like game live streaming through Windows 10 now, so it's going to be available. And they did this by acquiring a company called Beam just in August. So in 2 months, they took this startup and they threw that ability into their operating system. So now they're looking to compete with the likes of Amazon, which owns Twitch, even YouTube, really. So, you know, you put that on your Xbox. Now you don't even have to do Twitch. You can do whatever the fuck they call it, Beam or whatever. Really cool. It's called the Creators Update. It sounds like a great amount of content. They're probably trying to steal Apple's thunder, who used to be, you know, think different, make movies, make iMovie, here's iPhoto, here's all this shit. And Microsoft's like, okay, we can do that too. Let's try something different. So they like totally switch just everything they do over the last 8 years or so. Like, Microsoft is actually being innovative. Since Bill Gates stepped down, they've become a whole different company. Outside of, like, you know, purchasing LinkedIn for some reason. But for the most part, just real smart. I really, really like what they're doing. I'm probably going to buy a PC, maybe even this year. I've missed having a desktop. Yeah, just so.
At least that way you're not waiting for your laptop to crash.
Exactly. Well, not even just that. Like, ready to retire. This laptop could last me, like, another 10 years if I use it like a laptop. You know, like, I'm not at home, I need to use it. And I just want to get...
Yeah, but I mean, like, how long does your battery last to the point where, like, we've lost episodes because your battery...
Well, I mean, that was weird because I was in my car, you know?
Well, that too, but I mean, it's like 20% and then just shuts off.
Yeah, it does,
off, like,
it does it, that. It's bloated.
It's not going to last
like, it's
that
plugged
long.
In right now, and it's been plugged in for a while, and it's at 97%.
It's probably humming, I'm guessing,
too. Oh, yeah,
too,
for right? sure. I mean, that's the fans, yeah. too, though, but, yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, that's where you get that coming from your audio bit.
Yeah, well, I mean... What the fuck am I going to do? Put a fucking suppressor on it? It's an old
laptop. I'm just
laptop.
Saying, it's way quieter. Mine's way quieter because you
yours
got that
yours is a lot younger.
There.
Come talk to me in 8 years. Let me see what your computer sounds like then, if it's even around.
Hey, the Mac that I started on was like, by the time we started recording, it was like, what, 6 years at that point? It was humming too. But
mine's even older than that
actually,
one.
Yeah, we were both humming. Yours was louder.
Yeah, well, it's old. That's what that's
yeah, it
what
is.
Old things do.
I'm just saying, it's time to, you know, take it back, you know,
yeah, no.
take a shotgun with
no,
you.
Fuck
and,
no, I'm going to, I don't, yeah. like, I have my portable DVD player still. I plugged it in the other day, it still works. Like, I take care of my things, especially my electronics. I would love, like, when I have kids, just be like, have you ever seen a picture
yeah,
of one
no,
of
like,
these before?
I still got cassette players and all that. Yeah. Like, there is something cool about collecting old media, but... There's something fun about destroying it, too, at the same time.
I have done the Office Space thing before. I did destroy a printer with my hands in a backyard.
With weapons. You know, taking a gun with you and just shooting it. There's something really fun about that.
I haven't done that,
or
but I'm saying.
Just full on, like, taking a bow and arrow.
I lost
archery
that.
Style. Like, yeah, hanging it up on a target. There's something fun about that.
We were talking about VR a second ago. VR is later in the show. If you want to listen to all that stuff, it's right at the tail end. Gives you a reason to listen. Queen earlier this year, or this summer actually, partnered with Google to do VR. One of the biggest bands on the planet, even though they don't make music anymore, is doing the same. ABBA's coming to VR soon. I'm very excited about this.
Yep, you can be.
I wanna see this shit. I haven't seen the Queen one, because I don't really care. But I'm truly excited to see what kind of shit they do. Maybe they make new music. They release it in VR first.
I will let fans enjoy that one and just sit it out.
You're not into the ABBA?
No. My mom was in high school. Like, you know, I bought her Mamma Mia for Christmas
Good
one
movie.
Time. Or, I don't know, maybe it was her birthday because I know she wanted to see it. But even she wasn't that into
no?
it. I never want to see that movie.
I really like the... it's like the bachelor party scene in that movie where they do Fernando, and it's like whatchamacallit. It's like I don't even remember her name right now.
I don't know. I just remember that movie coming out the same weekend as Dark Knight, which is perfect counter programming.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you know, Dark Knight would sell out, and then, you know, the guy would just look at his girlfriend and be like, okay, I guess we can go see your movie.
It's like,
let's go.
The funniest thing about Mamma Mia is it's the highest grossing Broadway adaptation.
Really?
Yeah, because the power...
And it never made it to number
the
one.
The power of ABBA.
Wow.
Talking about number one, did you see that Madea beat out everything again this weekend?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Power
Tyler Perry,
Tyler
man.
Perry,
he's,
good job.
He's got a crowd. Yeah, always good job, man. I got to have mad respect for the guy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, not
Yeah. Also
Alex
had
Cross.
A lot of fun with Ninja Turtles this year. Oh, Alex Cross is amazing.
That might be a death to cinema
As
selection.
A bad movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'll make
God.
You rewatch
like,
that
I,
shit.
I would rewatch it, but I would get very drunk for that. Maybe even I would do a drunk commentary. How about
maybe.
That?
Maybe. Drunken Dollars was the
just
name.
Just that trailer for that movie. You know,
I do
the intros. I might just play the entire trailer for that one if we did that, because it is such an amazingly bad trailer where it's just like every beat of it, it's just... I can't help but laugh at that.
So... Talking about ABBA, excited.
How are you going to convince me to leave Detroit? Are you fucking kidding me?
I was excited.
Who the fuck
about ABBA
that?
And VR?
Sorry.
No problem. I'm just trying to get the show over.
And now I'm getting excited about Alex Cross, probably because we're talking about ABBA.
ABBA's coming back in VR. Muppet Babies is coming back to TV. They canceled the Muppets.
Is this where you announce your new podcast?
If it happens, it might. Yeah. So Muppet Babies is coming to Disney Junior, which is like the kiddie block of Disney Channel. And yeah, I reached out to Brendan over at Scream 101, who probably loves the Muppets just as much as I do, and I asked him, I was like, are we gonna do a podcast for this one? He was like, yeah, maybe. So I was so sad the day they canceled the ABC show. I was watching Muppets Most Wanted a little bit last night, Starship Troopers also, and yeah, I was just like, I was thinking about it right then, I was like, Muppet Babies is coming back. I love Muppets. It's like it's a theme song to a TV show that gets in my head all the time. Muppet Babies, we're coming to your dreams. Just close your eyes and make believe and your dreams come true. Really cool concept. It's just like it's like mixed media, so there's no puppets. There's no Muppets. It's animated and then
I remember Muppet Babies making a cameo in Cartoon All Stars. Did you ever watch that?
I know that they were though. But it was like they would spoof like Indiana Jones and just varied like movies and TV shows, and they would have live action stuff too. Like they would literally have like footage from like Star Trek or whatever, while they're just like kind of doing like the knockoff version of it, which is exactly what the Muppet Show was. And they just like took that and they made it for kids. And I really hope that this isn't really like shitty daytime TV CG animation, but I know it will be. But I'm still looking forward to whenever this comes out, hopefully in the next year or so, because, you know, they might have gave up for the primetime audience, but I'm happy to see that Disney is still going to try to use the Muppet properties and IP, because I doubt a movie is coming anytime soon. They're not making video games or books or anything, and at least it's still living. Like, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, Jason Segel at least did his job.
Oh, yeah.
There.
100%. Yeah. 100%. He made it something that is important again. Like, I love that.
Sadly,
fucking movie.
Everything that followed that has not been as great. But yeah, Muppets Most Wanted is still kind of fun.
It has some good music. There's some good cameos, but it's just not good.
I don't really have a desire to rewatch.
I
remember, like, you know, the one moment with what is it, the anti Kermit? Like,
yeah, Constantine.
Just that. There's that one line that I will always crack up at, and that's where he just says, "Woman, can you not see that you are bothering me?"
Yeah, that's right before the best song in the movie. Like, one of the best Muppet songs of
all
time. Yeah, that
too. Like, just, like, the
baby,
the
stop right
there.
There
are pretty amazing.
Let
yeah.
me play in the air. This was my thing.
And then
fun.
The rest is okay. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. I can give you what you want. I can give you what you need. Okay,
I'd love to rewatch that movie.
I gotta
too.
Hear I, that when
the,
I got
the first the first new Muppets.
Yeah, oh, anyway, so good.
I sold that Blu-ray though.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Well, I had to, that. How do you?
That was the first movie that I saw twice in theaters on purpose.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever? Well,
yeah, the first. Like,
yeah, I sold
said
it
on
just because I was like,
yeah. I'd seen something twice before, but that was unintentional. It was a bad one. It was a bad choice.
I've seen a lot of movies twice in theaters in general.
Well, I have now.
Yeah, that one, hey, if I didn't sell that Blu-ray, though, then I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I had to sell a lot just to get out.
Moving from Disney TV to Disney movies, here's our film section, which is very puny this weekend. Staying with Disney, like I said, Pixar announced some release dates. Incredibles 2 and Toy Story 4 are swapping when they're going to be in theaters. The Super Family Yay. Second Adventure is going to be June 15, 2018, and the Bo Peep rom-com mystery is going to be June 21st, 2019 now. Supposedly, this is because the production on Incredibles 2 is moving like at a breakneck pace, but it's like, this is so weird.
It has to be probably for some good reason, honestly, of like maybe they, because I don't know what the process is like for Pixar, but you know it usually takes them like 4 years to make a movie, and I mean, yeah, for Incredibles 2, I don't know. It's just you can only assume like they're making that choice based on which one's working and which one's going to be ready at that point. And they probably set a certain amount of time and they're moving faster than they thought they would. You know, that's at least they're not racing against the clock there. Mm-hmm. It's not like Good Dinosaur where they're making last minute changes and they got to, you know, cram shit out and delay an entire year for one movie.
Well, Sony's racing against the clock, too. I think it was like 4 months back they announced that Joe Carnahan was writing the script for their Uncharted adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
They got a director this week. It's Sean Levy. Not the pick I would have for like an Indiana Jones type video game adaptation, but fuck it, whatever. So the script must be finished. They got the director. Casting's got to be around the corner. I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to get this out like summer 2018, if they already got the director.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sean Levy puts out stuff like faster than that. Like, he's able to put out two movies in 1 year.
This is a big movie, though.
He works pretty fast.
This is
though.
One of PlayStation's greatest IPs of recent history. Like, they're not going to want to put out a bad Naughty Dog movie, their first Naughty Dog movie. And, you know, they had the Ratchet & Clank movie earlier this year. Sly Cooper's coming out next year. So they're already doing their PlayStation films. But this one's live action, and this is the one that people care about, and it is, I mean, they put out Uncharted 4 this year. They've already made a lot of money that way. If you buy a PS4 brand new right now, you get Uncharted 4 in the box. You know, like, they're not going to want to rush this. It's just on a fast track. They're trying to capitalize on the video game craze that's still going before VR takes over, and they also want to get an adaptation out there while all of them are still in theaters. We got Warcraft, Assassin's Creed this year, or we say Ratchet and Clank. We got Resident Evil in January. So many that are just going to be coming that you kind of forget about them. And I was thinking about this the other day. Need for Speed is so underrated. That movie is such a fun ride.
It is a fun movie. I mean, it's just as dumb as something like The Fast and the Furious.
A little dumber.
Yeah, no, I mean, holy shit, the stunts in that movie, like, you know, I never expected it either, but like that movie in 3D, like, holy shit, it looks great.
I want to see it again. And like, that's it's like, I don't think I've ever said that about a video game movie. They're usually good, but that one, it's...
And I did see that movie twice in theaters willingly, partly because everyone said it was so good in 3D, so I was like, okay,
see it again
in
3D. Yeah. Like, it overcomes the video game obstacles. Like, it's just, let's make it wacky, let's go on these fun chases, let's show off a new Mustang and shit. But everyone in that movie is having a good time, and it's impossible not to have a good time. Like, Michael Keaton, his character in that is awesome.
Oh, man, yes.
So,
yes.
Just...
I mean, you know, I have friends that I saw that with that they hate that movie, but we still love quoting that movie. I'm not sure if we are quoting it for necessarily the same reasons, mm-hmm.
But regardless,
it's a fun movie, yeah. Man. Totally I think fun. It's a fun movie.
I
want to
see that soon. Yeah. Like, maybe...
I would watch it again now, yeah.
I want to see it again. Like, if it's on HBO, that's the perfect HBO movie. You're like, oh, that's on right now? Yeah, I'll watch that. I'll watch that for 40 minutes.
Probably stars, because it's Disney a movie, Disney yeah. flick.
So, better yet, maybe Netflix.
Maybe.
Here's a reboot, though. I don't know if you saw this. This is so fucking weird. Rambo is getting redone, and this time without Sly Stallone. They're calling this new version accurately New Blood, and they're trying to use it as kind of like a James Bond franchise where they just bring in a new star over time. This is stupid. I don't understand if Millennium thinks they're actually going to have a successful franchise here, because there's nothing about Rambo that's really that interesting. And I'm saying this because I've never seen a Rambo film.
Well, I've seen two of them, mm-hmm. and they're fun, but... fucking franchise fatigue. I don't, you know, this summer has proved to me that it's a real thing,
yeah.
That it doesn't matter if it's a big IP property. People are just not going to care. Like, I mean, for me, like, you know, the movies that I remember this year, it's been mostly the original stuff, like Swiss Army Man. Hey, Captain America was a lot of fun. I had a great time with X-Men, but, you know, like, I certainly don't need another one, even though, yes, I am looking forward to Logan. Yeah, just I have a feeling like the more I'm going to hear about shit like this, I'm just going to be like, I don't care. You know, it's Rambo is like, it's a product of the 80s, really. That's what people are
70s
remember it
even
like, just
really.
Leave it as that.
It's like the novel came out.
It came out in 1982.
No, yeah, the First Blood did, but the novel came out like 77, and it's about Vietnam. Like the.
But as far as a cultural phenomenon,
oh,
yeah, it did.
Yeah,
really,
it's totally an 80s thing, but it's like,
and that's what the people.
You
see
already
as.
Know there has to be. You already know. That Stallone is going to make a cameo.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are they saying right now that he's not in it when he's clearly going to be in it? He's probably going to be a producer or at least an executive producer. He might even fucking co-write the thing, you know?
Or maybe make it a Creed story where they pass on the torch. That might
that
make
could work.
More sense.
Could work.
But...
It's like maybe it's his son or his nephew or who yeah. knows? But I'm sure when it comes out, if it comes out, well, Death to Cinema will do... Rambo, or maybe before then. I don't know.
At
some point.
You mean First Blood, not Rambo.
Yeah, First Blood. What a fucking...
Although Rambo was a badass
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, Second Blood, First Blood Part 2.
No. I have not seen 2 and 3. The one that came
oh,
out...
Oh, you're talking about
years, like
the Rambo movie. Yeah.
Yeah, like just the one that's called Rambo. That one was really badass. Mm. Yeah.
Final piece of film news I got here. This is completely against franchise fatigue, but it's fatigue of character anyway. Zelda Fitzgerald is all the rage in Hollywood right now. This could have been a headline, but I was like, eh. So we're about to be at 100 years since the Roaring Twenties. She was like mm-hmm. coined the first flapper. She was like the icon of the independent woman at the beginning of first wave feminism. Obviously, it's F. Scott Fitzgerald's wife. She's a schizophrenic. She was an author on her own. Very interesting character. So interesting, in fact, that there's 3 competing projects right now in development. The first of which, we've talked about on the show before, is an Amazon series that Christina Ricci is starring in. Ron Howard is prepping a film, probably to direct, called Zelda with Jennifer Lawrence. And then Scarlett Johansson is going to be in one called The Beautiful and the Damned. And that's the only one that has support from the Fitzgerald estate. I don't quite understand why. I mean, things come in pairs, usually, especially films like this. Deep Impact, Armageddon, to quote Jay Baruchel. But... Why? Like
Jobs and Steve Jobs?
It usually happens. It's mm-hmm. and I mean, this is a good character. I don't know much about Zelda Fitzgerald. I mean, I really like Alison Pill's portrayal in Midnight in Paris. And she's been in a couple of, like, not her, but the character, the person has been mm-hmm. in a couple things. So it makes sense for a biopic. But you already know that they're probably just looking for Oscar bait with these. You got Jennifer Lawrence, Scarlett Johansson. Well, Christina Ricci's on TV. But even still, like, you have big name, big bodied, like, you know, screen present women trying to be these people. And so with Ron Howard's project, I said that just like he says his name. That was weird. For instance, I think I read it on THR, they're like, well, you know, with A Beautiful Mind, he won Best Picture and Best Director for a film about someone with schizophrenia. this is a natural fit for him, or something like that. I was like, what?
What?
Yeah, no, that's what I read. Oh. It was like, it would make sense if he was interested in directing this again. He did such a great job.
Oh, it's familiar territory. Yeah. It's safe for him. He'll do fine. Yes, he won't surprise anybody. That's wonderful news. No surprises there.
Better than making another
biopic
that
doesn't take
at
risks.
Least it's not another Dan Brown movie. Like, how does a Dan...
Inferno
got beat by Boo. A Madea Halloween.
Well, you know, Inferno's doing fine, actually, when you look at the international numbers. That's why it exists. Like, you know, everyone loved to shit on Angels and Demons and go, like, oh, it tanked so hard. No, that was, like, one of the biggest grossers that year internationally. It was a fucking hit.
Well, I mean, when you're in America, all they care about is American things, which means American box office numbers.
I mean, also, Da Vinci Code made money because of controversy. When Angels and Demons, when, you know, they showed it to the Catholic Church and, you know, the Pope was just like, yeah, this is totally fine. Then they could not talk up that controversy angle anymore. So they were just like, shit, we just lost so much fucking money. Inferno, no one's fucking talking about
it. Yeah, no, I
also had a friend that, like, there's a Dan Brown book that evidently takes place in Washington, D.C. And he was like, why the fuck don't they do that? And I just said, well, it's a big fucking movie series internationally. They're going to try to sell it to a foreign audience, not to the U.S.
Yeah, I saw Da Vinci Code like everyone else. I hadn't read the book, but I remember just in high school, that was like the biggest thing on the planet. No one would shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah,
and,
no, like, I actually did read the book before I saw the movie.
Rightfully,
and
it's
good.
A good mystery, rightfully so. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's, if you like Kevin Smith, you've seen it before, but not a bad story, really interesting.
If I like Kevin Smith, I've seen
you've
it before.
You've seen that story before, if you like Kevin Smith, 100%, yeah. Well, you haven't seen Dogma?
What, Dogma? Yeah. Because of Dogma?
It's the same fucking twist, okay?
It's different.
It's basically the same.
But how you get there is
it's completely different how you get there, but if you were like, what's the Da Vinci Code? You're like, oh, it's a story about this girl who's the last descendant of Christ. What's Dogma? Just on paper.
Dogma is about someone that, I guess, you know, for Dogma, it's actually more important to that character and to their arc.
Yeah,
and just
Audrey,
like,
Tautou's character,
like, reaffirming what their life is. Audrey
means
Tautou's
nothing.
Just, like, a
she is literally...
It's just, like, coincidence. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, you're important.
Yeah, like, that final scene in the movie, you're like, oh, Langdon, this is the solution, Langdon. He's like, oh, I got it.
By the way, we just spoiled... I don't care that we spoiled the ending for Da Vinci Code, because it's a phenomenon, but, you know, I'm sorry if we spoiled Dogma for you, because that's actually a fun
movie to experience. Dogma, like, you.
If there's a teenager out there listening that hasn't
seen Dogma yet,
then I'll,
like,
feel bad.
That's not even intrinsic to that story. You figure out,
it's a fun twist. Though.
Bethany is shown to be the last Scion within 30 minutes.
That reveal happens.
Well, but you can kind. If the Metatron is coming down and having fucking margaritas with you. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, shots of tequila.
Which you can't imbibe. Rest in peace, Oliver.
It's like...
Yeah.
Man, I gotta rewatch that. It's been a while. Here's the tech stuff. I teased Apple earlier. Let's talk about how fucking stupid they are. So they showed off their new stuff. There's a new MacBook Pro that's coming out. Has a touch bar, which is their way of saying a touch strip. Really cool looking. It has Touch ID. Also really cool. It has even USB Type-C, the new standard in USB technology. Too bad it doesn't have a port to plug your iPhone 7 into. They're so fucking backwards in Cupertino. They literally just announced a laptop that you're going to need an adapter for to charge your iPhone with.
I'm sorry, do I need to say it? It's so cliche at this point. Fuck Apple, really. Like, there's no other response
to that. It doesn't make sense how you could be that fucking
stupid. That's a dick
move.
That's totally a dick move.
They just put out this phone, two versions of it, that people spent almost $500,000 on.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're going to want to get this new MacBook, because it looks legitimately awesome. And you're telling me that you can't put your fucking photos on it with the cable that you already have? That you're going to have to buy the USB Type-C lightning bolt cable? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm very happy right now that I'm actually completely Apple-free. Completely.
So
I don't have any Apple devices with me anymore.
It's like, no one has adopted USB Type-C yet. Like, certain flagship Android phones have it. Google Pixel, for instance, the new HTC, Moto. Mm-hmm. Like, some of them have it. It's ubiquitous. There is no right way up. It's both ways is right. It's way faster. It's safer. All these kinds of things. And it's cool that Apple is embracing that because they're usually really late to the party. Mm-hmm. But why didn't they make the iPhone have it? Or better yet, why not add one USB 3.0 port to the computer instead of going, nope, we're 100% done with that. Just like with FireWire. We're done with
it's
that.
It's really fucking stupid.
It's so stupid. Like, I can't even understand the stupidity. Like, Johnny Ive is supposed to be one of the best, like, computational designers on the planet. And he did this, or they let him do this, or Apple didn't veto this. Like, there has to not be brain power in Cupertino. They're so money hungry that they're like, that's just, fuck it. They can buy this thing for $20 to make it work. They will do it.
It's really sad, but true.
It's so stupid. Like, I, for instance, like,
I mean, I will be very happy if they just fucking fail financially on this. But if people buy I won't be shocked.
No, that's it's a real.
I'm actually counting.
It's a
on
pretty
that.
Computer. You know, like it, like that touch strip is really cool. It is, it mm-hmm. changes based on whatever you have open. If you're in a web browser, it's like the bookmarks and like back, like a refresh and, you know, like back and forward and all of the like contextual things that change. If you're like in a DJ application, it's like the turntables and the mixers and stuff. You can like the whole top row of an Apple keyboard is gone now. Like expose, volume up, volume down, all that stuff, and you can change it on the fly. Really cool. Like I said, also Touch ID. Like cool functionality. Really pretty. Super thin. Thinner than the MacBook Air is right now. I'm sure the battery life is gonna be awesome. Screen's probably really gorgeous. It's just that doesn't matter when you're that just incomprehensibly bankrupt with what your consumers have to buy to get what they need. And it's like, I'm so happy I'm out of that cult that I bought this one laptop that has lasted me a very long time and I still love, and I never went back. I turned down a free iPod. I said, no, I don't want that. I don't like using iPads, and I have to use one at work.
Really?
Yeah, fuck Apple. Fucking burning hell. Just as weird, though. Twitter, a couple weeks back, we were talking all about, ooh, someone might buy them. Disney might buy them. This people might buy them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the internet was all buzz. Their stock went up. Everything was going crazy. That's probably not a thing anymore. I doubt they have any suitors. And proof of that, Thursday, they announced that they're killing Vine. Really bizarre. That was, like, the beginning of the whole millennial, just temporary type of media.
Like, Vines has kind of disappeared since Snapchat,
yeah,
hasn't
like
it?
Snapchat yeah. limited its usage, but Vine stars were a thing. Like, you know, yeah. Vine set the way for Meerkat and Periscope. You know, Periscope was owned by Twitter or created by Twitter. But yeah, before Instagram really like took off with like what it is now and Snapchat and all that stuff, like it was its own entity for a good couple of years. And it's just like, Why would you kill this thing? I mean, there's probably still a good amount of people out there that use it. And, like, the information's not really there. I think, like, you can't create Vines anymore, but you can still see all the past mm-hmm. ones. And there's probably going to be a way for them to just archive the more successful and popular ones.
I'm sure you can find some on YouTube.
Oh,
you
can find...
Yeah, like, they've been spread
You can
around,
find YouTube sure. compilations. It's like, instead of watching the 6 seconds over and over and over again, you watch, like, 10 minutes of, yeah. like, the, you know, the 200 best finds for pranks.
Or 10 hours.
Yeah. So, like, the content's not going to go anywhere. But it's just, it's really silly. It makes sense.
Hey, can I give you flack on one thing, though? You know, I'm looking at the notes that Brian has
Vive,
yeah. here. And that threw me off for a second because I was like, wait, when the fuck did they own them? I had no idea that this happened.
Yeah,
like,
no. I saw that myself.
Like, am I late to that? Was I sleeping
I
one
I saw
time?
That myself right now and I
yeah,
fixed the typo.
But then I kept reading and I was wait, Vines.
Yeah,
okay,
what
that
it
makes
had
a bit more
to
sense.
Have been is my autocorrect on my phone was like, oh, you always just type Vive. So that has to be what mm-hmm. it is. Vine's not a thing.
Yeah, but you know what? Also looking at the keyboards, there's only a B right in between
and
the V
on
and
a touchscreen,
so.
That's negligible.
Yeah, I mean,
it could have been Vibe.
Yeah.
You know? Could have been Vice.
It could have. But still, like, I found that pretty funny because I was flipping out for a second. Like, when the fuck? I just found out about this. When the
how
fuck
are
they
how are they
Vibe?
Killing
that's
Vibe? That's
thing.
Why would they kill the VR?
Yeah. It's like, why would anyone be purchased by... Disney's going to purchase Vibe? Holy
that
shit.
That would be really
like,
cool.
Yeah.
There's already Disney content in VR, but yeah, that'd be cool if they had their own VR headset. This one's kind of cool, and it's tied into the next couple of things here. Yeah, MTV Australia is adding fans live streaming video to Music Block. So if you're going to be like watching music videos or TRL or whatever, in between the songs or during the songs, there's going to be like dance moves or lip syncings or like whatever people.
So it's like a second screen.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, this is my Vine type of content, or this is my YouTube shit or my Twitch stuff, and or like Snapchat or whatever, but it's going to be actually on TV. And I could see this totally getting people to tune in for MTV again, because you can just do it on YouTube now. Why would you turn on, first off, people our age don't pay for MTV, but like a 10-year-old, I could see them actually wanting to watch this instead of having to, you know, take their iPad out and watch this kind of content, and then also have to have their other like phone out to watch the music videos. So really cool. I'm interested to see if this is just going to stay in Australia or if this comes stateside, because this could just be how MTV rebrands themselves to stay contemporary. Really cool. I wouldn't be surprised if more people do this. And like I said, it's kind of tied to this. Now, Twitch, we talked about them at the top of the show, or rather what Microsoft's doing to try to compete with them. They just got something pretty huge. Last year, they created their whole creative wing. So you don't just watch video games on Twitch. Creative, you can watch people paint, cook, sew, like anything you can think of. You can watch, like Bob Ross marathons. They've had like The Art of Cooking, like Julia Child, or Joy Cooking. And now they're making their own original content, like paid content. They've got a past winner of the Food Network Star to come on to the purple side of things. It's going to air starting tomorrow, Halloween, Monday through Friday, starring Justin Werner, or Varner, or Warner, whatever. I don't know how German he is.
Werner.
It's probably Warner.
It's W, right? No, it starts with a W, right?
Yeah, if he was actually German, I was saying it would be Varner.
Okay, yeah, then it would be Werner.
Werner, but it's probably just Warner. But yeah, this actually sounds really interesting, because I've never seen, like, I've seen creative stuff on Twitch, but the concept of this show is that he's going to be cooking, teaching you how to cook, and also interacting with you and answering your questions on the fly while he's cooking these dishes. They're going to post the, like, all of the ingredients and necessary materials ahead of time on the calendar, and you're going to be able to buy them through retailers, aka Amazon, so you can cook alongside this show, which is called Chef Shock, which is like the worst title I've ever heard. But really interesting. Like
I like shock, like,
yeah, like lightning, yeah,
like S.
Yeah, I don't know, weird title. Right. I'm gonna check out. I'm gonna check this out. I like, depending on what time it airs, because it just sounds like a perfect fit. Just cooking is the kind of thing, if you've ever watched the Food Network and they're teaching you how to do it, they do it, you know, oh, and then you cook the chicken, they put it in the oven, and they pull out a completely cooked chicken. You're like, well, how long does it actually take? What's the actual prep work? Like, I want to see it. Like, cooking's one of those things that you don't need hands-on, but you kind of do have to see someone do it exactly to understand. And I can see, if this is a successful show, that Amazon would offer like an automated delivery of said items to dedicated fans in the same way that like they do the dash buttons. So it's like, just on Twitch, subscribe to the guy, pay him $5 a month, also get your package in the mail so you can cook every single meal Monday through Friday or whatever. Like, this could be a way for millennials to learn how to cook. Mm-hmm. And it's entertainment. And this should have been a headline, but I didn't think about that. anyway, tied to this, even cooler, Alton Brown of, you know, Iron Chef America and Cutthroat Kitchen and all kinds of Food Network goodies, most notably Good Eats, which is, I miss it so much. They don't even do reruns. He's going to make a spiritual successor to Good Eats on the internet. It's coming out soon. He's going to be like, fuck you, advertisers. He's going to be making all the stuff. Really excited about this whenever it comes, because he's the funniest guy. You've seen Good Eats before, right?
I have not.
It's like kind of Monty Python meets a cooking show. It's so bizarre. Like, they have...
Is the guy British?
No, he's American. I think he's from, like, Mississippi or something. No accent. But, no, Athens, Georgia, actually, I believe.
What accent?
I'm saying he has no accent. Like, he's from the South, but there's no accent there. So, yeah.
What accent are you talking about?
You said, is he British?
Yeah.
He lacks an accent. He has the normal American...
Yeah, so he's just an American guy, right? So,
yeah, he's on TV.
Then why would he have an accent?
Because he's from the South. He's from Athens, Georgia. Or
what are you saying that people in the South talk funny, Brian?
I'm saying they have accents. That's a fact.
I live in the South.
Yeah, you live in Texas.
What accent are you talking about?
I'm talking about the South, like where the Confederacy was, like the South,
mm-hmm.
where they use a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Not Texas. Not the Omo South. Not Tex-Mex. Not the Midwest. Like the Mid-South.
I'm just fucking with
the
you.
The Southwest.
Just, yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited about the show. You should...
East, actually. It's technically Southeast. You're in the Southwest.
Check it out, though. Try to find episodes. It's really fun. Like, they have recurring gags. It's like I said, it's a cooking show, but there's a script. And there's characters that recur and, like, all kinds. Like, I really wish that they... I think it's on Netflix. No, it is on Netflix. Yeah, there's like a greatest hits compilation on Netflix. So you can check that out. But I really wish that the whole thing was available somehow, like Food Network On Demand or something like that. That would be awesome. The final piece of tech news, though, is kind of cool. Xbox Ones are going to be getting Dolby Atmos support over Bitstream in an upcoming update. So, you know, there aren't that many soundbars and shit that can actually support Atmos. But it's nice to know that the Xbox One...
Yeah, at least have the
Yeah, the Xbox One, which is already a really great media player, you know, has a UHD, well, if you get the Slim, has an ultra-high-def Blu-ray player, has all the good apps, you can put HDMI in, you can plug in your cable box or whatever, that it can be literally everything. Like, it is top of the line now for only $300.
Like, that's what's making me think, should I get that as a console?
As a console, but, no. As a console, you want
tough,
a PlayStation. Yeah. But if you want a media...
I'm always going back and forth, depending on who's
If you
here.
Want a media player, like if you want something to watch movies on and TV and all of that stuff, it's
That's what's fucked
it's
up
without
though,
a doubt.
Is that the PS3 was great for that.
Right?
When I had
yeah,
one.
No, the PS3 like, yeah. was... The reason it tanked is people wanted a video game system, and Sony tried to sell a media player. And the reason the Xbox One tanked is because people wanted a video game system, and they gave them a media player. Like, Xbox... flip places with PlayStation this generation. It, like, Sony knew. They're like, nope, let's not do that again. Nothing. Fuck. Doesn't even have a CD player. Fuck that. And Microsoft's like, hey, it didn't work for them, but it worked for us. We'll make our own TV content. We'll have our own movie studio. We'll do this. And, like, it's the biggest mistake they probably ever made. I'm happy they're selling the units they do. I'm happy they have the IPs that they have, but it's not enough. Like, I only want... Like, I want an Xbox One because... I do...
Just for the media, right?
Mostly for the media. You know, it's a really cheap Blu-ray player. But I also want it for the games that I've never played. Or the games that I'd like to play. Like the Gears of War games and Halo and Forza Horizon mm-hmm. 3 and Alan Wake and Quantum Break. Like, there's enough games out there that are exclusive to Microsoft that I do want to play legitimately. And by the time I get my Xbox, which could be next month, they're available for really,
really?
Cheap. Yeah, like Black Friday, for sure. Yeah, like, I already saw it this week. For $650, you could get a 49-inch 4K TV and Xbox One Slim with a free game. So that was $650 before Black Friday. Black Friday, I was telling people at work $600 might even be $550. Shit, maybe even $500.
Damn.
I could see it. Like, I think a 4K TV by itself, just like a 50-inch 4K, is going to be a doorbuster for like $299. Like, 4K is very cheap now. Like, people aren't aware of that. They still think it's super expensive. Like... 4K came out a while ago now. Like, 8K is only about 2-3 years away.
No, it's cheap, but then again, like, even a 1080p TV, that's like
still pricey.
I can get one that's like a 47-inch for like $300
yeah.
bucks.
Well, I mean, like,
which is
there's
insane,
a price
like,
point that
now.
You can't fall below for electronic of that size. But for only like $100 more, you can get the same size 4K TV. Might not be top of the line. It's not going to have 3D or anything, but it is 4K. You know, it
yeah.
might have HDR. So it's still pretty cool. But this is in the mm-hmm. show. VR, favorite part, is at the end just because it is. HTC and Valve.
It's the best for last.
HTC and Valve are catching up on the technical magic at Oculus currently. And they're going to be able to offer the best PC VR experience at a way cheaper entry price. What Oculus has done is something called asynchronous time warp, which is like a fancy way of saying computational backup plan for like complex moments. So it was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we're talking about like Oculus, you can do it with like a $500 computer now. This is going to allow the Vive to run off of something at a comparable price point. So this is really going to help them really catch up with Oculus if they are behind. No one knows. Like, it's so secretive, but it's really cool. It's the fact that they're, even though they have the technically better headset, the best one on the market currently, that they're still mm-hmm. trying to make it better, trying to make it cheaper, trying to get more people out there instead of just being happy with, I would assume, the lead they have now. And just tying into this, there's two more things about them. Really cool. AGC just opened the first official Vive cafe in China. I really hope these come here. It's in Shenzhen. It's, you know, there's already, like, VR arcades, or people calling VRcades. Like, VR and then C-A-D-E-S. Really cute little pun. Mm-hmm. But this is going to help with penetration. People are going to be able to go, you know, get some coffee, experience VR, rent a room out, kind of in the same way that you do karaoke, basically. But this one is run by HTC. So you know it's going to be premium, that it's not going to be weird, that it's not going to be too expensive or whatever. And I wonder how long this is going to land in U.S. I mean, there's like the Ghostbusters Dimension thing that was in Madame Tussauds in Times Square. And then there's like the Void Arcade out in Utah or wherever. So there are like places where you can go. But and then there's also, you know, like the IMAX things that are coming in just this month, actually. It's going to be November. But how long until there's just like VR arcades or VR cafes or it? Like, I've said for a while now, and maybe not on air, but I have a feeling like the arcade is going to make a comeback because of virtual reality. Just the fact that it's a hard... You're not going to want to buy it because it's so expensive without having to experience it. And despite it being an isolated experience when you're doing it, it's very entertaining to watch someone do it.
Yeah, no, it's like you don't want to buy a pinball machine. You go to an arcade and play it, right?
I'd really love a pinball machine.
Yeah, but they're expensive as fuck.
I like when I, you know, am successful in life and I have income that I can dispose of.
Then why not?
I'll definitely buy a fucking pinball machine, and I'll like.
Not only that, you get a RoboCop pinball.
If it exists, I've never seen one. But not only that, I would.
I bet it has to exist. It came out of the 80s. I would modify
my pinball machine so I can play VR pinball. Like use the table and the actual buttons and stuff, but I have my headset on and I can play any table on it.
I got to imagine how that should be.
That's already a thing. Yeah. You can see YouTube videos.
Yeah, no, I'm.
And I think Pinball Effects 2 on PS4 is getting VR support in the near future. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do that because that seems. I don't know. Like maybe I'll see. I'll see how expensive it is. I've been buying so much shit on PS4. Last big thing on the show. This should have been a headline too. I didn't take the amount of time I should have when I prepared the show. But Vive announced a new thing, which is kind of coined like augmented virtual reality. It's a marrying of augmented reality and VR. And it's a reading application called Vive Paper. This is going to be in China first, but basically the way it works, the HTC Vive has what they call their chaperone system. There's cameras on the outside so you can see what's your surroundings, and also it helps with tracking and stuff too. It's going to use those cameras to recognize physical publications in your hands and derive virtual content tied to it. It's doing this through like basically QR codes and different kinds of like shit like that. And this is basically how it's going to work. You're reading a travel magazine, you're reading about the Taj Mahal, you flip the page and you're surrounded. It's like you're at virtually the Taj Mahal. You can do a tour of something. Maybe there's like an advertisement on the next page. You can do a 360 tour of the device, like rotate it in your hand. So it's going to be a perfect marrying of the two technologies, and I wouldn't be surprised how, like, this is China right now, and it's big time. Like, they're doing this with Condé Nast. Like, GQ and Vogue in China are going to have this content probably March, maybe before then. And this isn't just going to be on PC, it's also going to be mobile on HTC's Viveport M application, like their portal. So these are special magazines. I don't think it's going to be every magazine, but given the fact that print's going out of business anyway, it could just be every single one. Like, you buy it once to read it. You can also use it in VR. And I would love to see this kind of functionality come to the other headsets, but given the way that the Vive is designed, it probably isn't possible. Like, they putting the cameras on the outside is hopefully something that everyone does, because when I want a drink of water, or I'm looking for my controller, or I'm trying to figure out where I am in my room, or I'm punching shit, I've hit my TV, I've hit my desk, I've hit so many things with my hands. A camera system on the outside, a chaperone, if you will, is very, very smart. Like, that's why the Vive costs $800. Like, there's a reason for that price point. It's not because it's better, it's because it's better. Like, you know, it's just really smart. So, so smart.
It has the little details in there that are just like, hey,
why didn't you think about this, everyone else? So like, it's, I really hope that the next generation of VR headsets, that they all have something like that. Because, like, truly, like, if I was totally in VR,
I don't think a PlayStation VR wants to. It probably wants to get you amped up to the point where you're hitting shit because you're fucking. You're bad.
Maybe,
man,
but like,
know?
For instance, if I'm in VR, I got my headset on, I got my earphones on. I'm not aware of my surroundings. Someone could come up and like pull my pants down, and I wouldn't know. Like, anything could happen to me. There's like countless videos, prank videos.
Like, that disconnect has got to be so weird. I cannot
There's
imagine.
There's countless
what that
videos
feels like.
Online of people getting pranked in VR, especially when they're playing like something scary.
I got to see that.
Yeah,
now.
It's weird. Like, when my lady friend was over, and she was using my headset, I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, okay, I was like putting it on her. I was putting like the controllers in her hands, and then I was like guiding her, and she was like, this is so weird. I don't know what you're doing, but I can feel it. Like, I was like, yeah, I bet, like, you know, that hasn't happened to me. Like, it has to be really not traumatizing, just like, yeah, like really weird.
It could be traumatizing
depending on what's going on. But yeah, there's so many videos.
That's very
of
creepy to think about.
Well, that's the show, people. Thanks for listening. Hope it's been a pleasure. You learned something new, say thanks, leave a comment, like us, favorite us, share us, whatever you want to do. I said at the top of the show, I'll say it again. We're all over the internet. Facebook, Twitter, WordPress, Tumblr, Google Play Music, iTunes, Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. If you want us to say something different, give us a reason to do it. We love you. I hope you love us. Have a good one.
Take care. Happy Halloween.